distinguish wisdom from foolishness, and the strength to build with integrity, using good materials in your sight. Bless the work of our hands in all we do, inspiring creativity and ingenuity. Help us to recognize the dignity in every task and labor for your glory. May our homes be places of refuge, built on trust and forgiveness, and may our families be united by your love. When we face setbacks or feel like we are struggling, help us to remember that you are still at work, actualizing your perfect design. Enable us to rebuild on your rock, experiencing your forgiveness and redemption. May we fix our eyes on you, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, trusting that you are completing the work you began in us. In your powerful name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'd like to stand.
Holy Spirit, come, invade us now.
Thank you for building us. Thank you for filling our hearts with your love and strengthening us every day, Lord. Just guiding us through our lives, Lord. Thank you. Drop something, sorry.
Well, love to those around me.
Lord, thank you for your guidance, Lord. You are holy. You are the holy of holy lords. You are the name above all other names, Lord. And we worship you, Lord Jesus. And we welcome the Holy Spirit here this morning, Lord, among our people, your family, the ones that love you, Lord. And we pray that you bring more people with the love of Jesus into this church. And we welcome, Lord, just bring them in. Bring them in, Lord. Amen, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing In Christ Alone.
That in all seasons, in all circumstances, you are faithful and good. That even though we are far from perfect, we are not what is even remotely what we should be sometimes. We are your children, and we seek to learn and grow every day. And we thank you for your patience, your goodness, your kindness, your forbearance, for everything that you pour out upon us. But most of all, Lord, for your love. Praise you, Father God, in all the earth, in all the heavens, and in all the universe. Amen. Yes. Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise him.
Yeah. Praise. Holy of praise. Holies.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Jesus. It is to come. Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Lord God, I confess I don't always understand what is going on, but I trust that the way you are building my character will enable me to know, love, and serve you in a deeper way. Amen.
Amen.
Please take a seat when you're ready. We're going to come to a time of fellowship through communion. And as we do so, I just say, come to this table not because you must, because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because of any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" We're going to serve the juice and the bread now. I don't know if anybody's been asked to serve, but if not, can I have two volunteers, please? Matt? Thank you, Doug. So we're going to distribute the bread and the wine, and just hold on to both of them until everybody's been served. And then we'll eat and drink together. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden and healing the sick and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross for the redemption of the world and for raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall all share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's eat together and drink together. Thank you. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ, Father of all. We give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who have shared Christ's body live his risen life. We who have drunk his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit likes gives light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He became sin,
who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, oh, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Oh, blessed Redeemer. Rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, it's come to that time where the children and young ones go out to have their teaching. They've done really well this morning, and thank you for their usual faithfulness in collecting all the cups. Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much. Let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you for our young children. We thank you for their hearts for you, Lord. And Lord, as they go out this morning, pray that they receive more from you in little ways or big ways, whatever you have set out for them, Father God. Lord, we pray for their teachers this morning, that as they have prepared the lessons, Lord, that you will be able to allow them to deliver what they've prepared in the knowledge that you have been in every thought, every preparation, every word, every detail, from beginning to end. And we do all this in your precious name, and we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right, off you pop. We'll see you later. Just as a heads up for Pauline, can we have a 5-minute, when I'm coming into land, when you're getting close to the end, because Helen would like to bring the children back in so they can... Of course I can. I think she wants on the table. Yes? I'll get you one. Ooh. Can you get me the bass one, please? Beep, 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 beep. You're nearly there, that's it. You've touched base, you've landed. Right, let's. Is that high enough for you?
Probably not.
Is that okay?
It might be.
Look at that. I'll just pray for you before. Maybe running up to you shortly. Let's just pray for Pauline. Father God, we thank you for Pauline and her heart and passion for you. Father, we thank you that she is known as the pocket rocket. Lord, that she does everything in your name with such great gusto and enthusiasm. And Lord, I pray that that will shine through today as she gives us the message that you've put on her heart for us here at King's Baptist. Bless her, I pray, as she preaches to us now. Mm. And Lord, bless us as we hear your magnificent word. Amen.
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 Thank you. Well, it's lovely to be back. I might put those like that. So
you all right?
Bring me a bit closer. That's good.
You want that?
No.
No. You're going to nod at Steve.
Where is he?
The shiny bit's his head over the top. There you go.
Ah, I couldn't see him. I thought he disappeared. Okay, so it's often helpful to, in our understanding of God, to look at an image of God or his various roles. And so I've chosen today to talk about God the Master Builder. Thank you for the lovely worship, because that's led in beautifully to that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start big and then we're going to zoom in, okay? To a deep, hopefully a deeper understanding of God. Now, the understanding of God as the master builder is woven throughout Scripture from his role as the ultimate architect and sustainer of the universe to his intimate involvement in the construction of his spiritual kingdom. So we've got the ultimate architect, and yet he's intimately involved in building his kingdom. So, let's have the next slide. Okay, so we're going to, as I say, we're going to zoom out. Let me have my pictures here so I can see where I'm going. Okay, so in Job, we'll come back to the pictures in a minute. In Job 28, 38, the whole chapter, Now, Job is not one of those books that most people rush to read. I don't know about you. It goes on for rather a long time. And Job gets advice from three of his friends and then another person. And towards the end of the book, in verse 38, God challenges Job about the creation of the universe. And he asks him questions. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And Job's going, can you direct the sequence of the seasons? Have you made daylight? Do you know the laws of the universe? And God continues to challenge Job throughout that chapter and into the next chapter. And eventually, Job speaks in chapter 40. And I'll just... Job comes before Psalms. I should have marked this. Job 40. Nearly there. Job responds. He says, then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. You see, Job realized when God answered him all these questions about the universe, he hadn't got a single answer because it was beyond his comprehension. And he began to recognize in a new way God's awesome power and his wisdom and his strength. This is our God, the master builder. And I've just got three slides here. These are pictures of galaxies. That's another couple, Steve. And they're beautiful, aren't they? I tried to find a short video of about the start of the universe, but they were all scientific and really they didn't have room in them for God. So I thought we'd just have some pictures. And interestingly enough, just a few facts. Some of you are a lot more... sorry, I'm just going to move this back because my leg's hurting. A lot of you are much, much more celestial boffs, shall I say, than I am. But just a few thoughts. The Earth is positioned the perfect distance from the sun for life to flourish. Venus is too hot, Mars is too cold. Scientists sometimes call our region of space the Goldilocks zone because it appears to be just right for life. I thought that was rather a lovely phrase. I'd never heard that before. We're in the Goldilocks zone. Even a slight shift close to the sun would have a significant impact. Warming would cause glaciers to melt. We know there's global warming going on already because the ozone layer is being depleted. But this would happen much more quickly. Our solar system, with its eight planets and five dwarf planets, is part of a giant galaxy called the Milky Way. And it's so big that it would take over 1,000 years to fly across it in a spaceship. But not only that, as we've seen these pictures, if you could scroll those again, Steve, that beautiful one and that. They are estimated to be between 200 billion and 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. Isn't that amazing? I'm not expecting you to remember these figures. There's no test at the end. But, I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? And there could be even more. It's just our scientific technology can't see any further than that. But God made all of this. This is our God. And it said, we read in Psalm 127, it says, that wasn't the first reading, was it? 119, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. That's the glory that God has created in his universe. And in Psalm 8, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of him, human beings that you care for them?" In Psalm 147, verse 4, it says, "He counts the stars and calls them by name." This is God. This is our God. Now, God, it says in Romans 1, verse 20, that God is the invisible God. We know God through Jesus, but nobody has ever seen God. But he wanted to make his glory visible to us. He wanted something that without a doubt would declare his glory, make us go, wow. So he created the universe. And yet I suggest, I mean, the trouble is we suffer from a lot of light pollution here, don't we? If you go out tonight and you look at all the stars that you can see in this, you know, light polluted area, it's amazing. This is our God. And so I wanted to spend a bit of time looking at the universe and the bigness of what, the largeness, the hugeness of what God's created to show us his glory. Because if God could accomplish all this with just a word, then we can safely leave our lives in his hands, can't we? But the thing is that God has established all that, and we know, if we're at least a bit scientific, that the galaxies, the universe, even the Milky Way is changing as stars grow and as some become black holes and different cosmic things happen. But essentially, God's set all that in place. But the interesting thing that we need to grasp hold of is that God continues to build, not out there, but here on earth. He's still building his kingdom. And that's why God is the master builder. He's still building today. And the critical verse for us is the one that we had right at the beginning of the service, I think. I don't know, did you read verse and chapter, Psalm 9? Was that one? Yeah, 127, that's what I thought. Yeah, just wanted to check. Because that is the psalm that we need to really take hold of today. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. Now, this God who created all of that beautifully, wonderfully, everything in its place, put earth in the Goldilocks zone, he's interested in us. And unless he builds this church and unless he builds in our lives, then we're building in vain. Sorry, just need a tissue. Okay. So, can we have the next slide, please? Okay. God, the master of the universe. I left these out, but we need to come back to these. The first one, it says, every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of all things. This highlights God's role as the ultimate architect and creator of the universe. And we've looked at some of those other verses. So let's have the next slide, Steve, if we can. Okay. Recently, Pete and I went away and we visited two churches. Right, the one on, yeah, the one with all the trees on it. yeah, they've both got trees in it, yes. The one that's darker, okay, that is the Chapel of St. Mary in Clumber Park in Nottinghamshire, which some of you might have visited. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. That picture doesn't do it justice because it's a bit dark. And the other picture is is the church at Grantham, which probably more of you might have visited. And it's the most beautiful place, isn't it, Claire? it's almost like a mini cathedral. It is so, yeah, it's so beautiful. But it's not called a cathedral, but it deserves that title. And these buildings were built in centuries gone by. And what were they built for? What were they built for? There's a plaque on the church in Fairfield, and I know Adrian used to attend that church, on Fairfield, and there is a stone. If you go and look at Fairfield on the, I think it's the east corner, outside, there's a plaque, and it says, this church was built for the glory of God. Those churches were built for the glory of God, so that, you know, man, even in those centuries, they couldn't see as much of the universe, but they looked at those buildings, you know, the people who couldn't afford to build them, but they were built by people who could afford them, and so many people lost their lives building buildings like that. But they were built for the glory of God. But actually, they are just buildings. Yes, we can look in awe and admiration at them, but we, of course, we are the church. It's not those buildings. We are the church. The gathering of God's people, the ecclesia. And we are, this church is part of God's ongoing construction project. Bill Hybels, who is the author and the ex-pastor of Willow Creek, said, the local church is the hope for the world. And often as Christians, we can feel that we don't have much to offer. You know, well, what's little me or what's our little church? You know, we're not very big. We're in this place called Stopfold. Who'd ever heard of Stopfold? You know, mind you, it's in the Doomsday Book, so somebody must have heard of it. It's there. But the hope we bring is not through our own strength and through our own knowledge and wisdom. It's through God's. And even when we don't think we've got anything to offer, we've got Jesus. We all have Jesus, the one we've given our lives to. And we are helping the master builder. We are like his co-builders, if you like. I'm sure God could do a lot of it, a lot better without us, but he chooses to use us. And the thing is, we are co-builders because, first of all, we carry the truth of Christ. The truth of Christ and his finished work on the cross is something the world must hear, needs to hear right now. And there's been a lot of talk on the social media and so on about Christian Kirk, is that what his name? Chris Kirk. And he was a very outspoken, conservative Christian. And I'm sure some of us in this congregation, most of it, all of us, would not agree with all of his theology and all of his things he believed. But nevertheless, he spoke out loud and proud about his faith. And somebody shot him. You know, we've got the truth of Jesus to bring to people closest to us, those who live in our streets. Most of you know of Fran Rolfe. Well, she spoke just a 5-10 minute little talk at the lunch that we have at King's Community Church once a month. And she left people with this question. She talked about who Jesus was, and then she said, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? If somebody asked you that question this morning, what would you say? Would you have an answer? Would you be fumbling for words? Or would you be able to say straight off, he's my Lord, he's my Saviour? Because that's what we need to be about. You know, not always will we get the opportunity to speak. Sometimes we will. Sometimes it will be through our actions. But we carry the truth of Christ, and we need to let that light shine in everything that we do and we say. Secondly, we are called to be extensions of God's love. We're helping God to build his kingdom through the love that we show. It says in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. People start asking questions when they see the difference that we make and the difference that we are. And you have got enough, whatever God has done in your life, you have got enough to share with somebody. You have got a testimony. It may not be very long. It doesn't matter. But when the time comes, you've got something to share. Let's share it with the world. So we carry the truth of Jesus in helping the master builder. We're called to be extensions of God's love. And thirdly, we stand in the gap through intercession and prayer, don't we? Because so many people are in a difficult place. They haven't got hope. What can we do when somebody comes up to you and says, my friend has just been, we had a guy at our golf club. I won't mention any names, but he has recently been diagnosed with throat cancer. And you know, he's made a beeline for Pete Nye. And he wants to know, is this what it feels like going through cancer treatment? And he came up to me in the clubhouse and he just said, Pauline, he said, is it right to feel like this? He said, I feel really frightened. And I said, that's absolutely, absolutely natural. And he was in that situation between having a diagnosis but not knowing a treatment path, which is the really difficult bit, because you don't know what's ahead of you. You have no idea what's ahead of you. And at the moment, he's going through his treatment. But it's just interesting. And Pete's phoned him up a couple of times to see how he's getting on. And he's so grateful to be able to talk to someone who's going through it, who's been through it. So, and we've been standing in the gap in prayer for this guy. There are people you know that you can stand in the gap for because they just don't know how to pray for themselves. And even as we do these three things, we must remember that Jesus is the head of the church. And we sang a song, and I think we're going to sing another one, but the song Build My Life, it says Jesus being the cornerstone. And that psalm, unless the Lord builds the house, we build in vain. We must have Jesus at the cornerstone of our lives. What does a cornerstone do? Sometimes Jesus is called the cornerstone or the capstone, and there's another one. But the cornerstone that we're talking about here, does anybody know what that does? Doug? Yeah, so this is a stone, and it needs to be set at the exact right angle, doesn't it, Doug? And then everything else is built around it and on top of it. Okay, so Jesus has to be our cornerstone. So that as we build our lives, we're building it in the right way, in the right direction. And as we just drill down, I think that's the in phrase nowadays, if we drill down a little bit further, the master builder, he's using this church to spread his kingdom, to construct his kingdom, but he's also using each of us individually. And it says in 1 Peter 2, you'll all know this verse, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, that's Jesus, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So each one of us, it doesn't matter. You don't think if you don't think you've got very much to offer. Can we carry on the slides? I've probably missed. Yep. Okay, we've done that bit. I get so carried away. And we've done that bit. Okay. Right. So we are the living stones. Now, we may not think we have much to offer, but we have. We all have gifting. We are all gifted in some way or another to help the master builder build his kingdom here on earth. And God's got a blueprint for each of us. You know, it's in Jeremiah 29:11. You know, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to help me build my kingdom here on earth. Now, I don't know if anybody here has had an extension built. Yeah, dog's house. Anybody else? Yeah, you have. Or maybe even a house. But I bet, Doug, it was complete sailing. I bet you never had any mess. It was completely on time. No. When you have an extension built, it's often very messy, very dusty, very costly, and often it takes a lot more time than one would expect or hope. And that's like, this is another really picture of God as the potter. If we give our lives over to Jesus or God as the potter, if we're not building quite right, he can smash it all down again and start again or knock that bit around a bit, you know? But being the part of the building that God wants us to be, to be the precious stone, he may have to knock bits off us. He may have to mould us and shape us. But we're all vitally important. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about us all being part of the body. We're all a vital part of the body. So the master built all that creation, all that, those millions of galaxies and stars and planets to show us his glory. But he's still building. He's building through his church, through King's Baptist Church. He's building through you as individuals. And of course, I couldn't do a sermon without coming to the ultimate culmination of God's work as the master builder in Revelation 21, when we see the vision of the new heaven and the new earth. That's when God's building work will be complete. But meanwhile, we're in the now and not yet. And we're not saved by doing good works, but we're saved to do good works. And there's no doubt from what we've looked at this morning that our God is totally awesome. We can see and look at and study the universe, and we know that God is still building. He's still building his kingdom. And he's building it through his church, and he's building it through us. And he will build it with or without you, and with or without me. But I want to do it with him. And we're doing it with Jesus as the cornerstone. So unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers build in vain. So I don't know, let's just take a few minutes of quiet. Where are you in your life? You know, some of us are towards the end of our life and we might think, well, God hasn't got a plan for me now. It's too late. But that's not true. If we're still here on earth, if we're still living and breathing, God's still got a plan. Still wants to use you. Still wants to use me. So let's just take a moment. Father God, help us to search our hearts. Over this next week, let us come back to that verse in Psalms, in Psalm 127, and ask ourselves, unless the Lord builds the house, I'm building it in vain. Have the courage to ask, am I building in vain, Lord? Or maybe there's just parts of my life that I'm building in vain. Parts that I'm spending my energy on, and you actually, if I listen carefully, you're saying no, we don't need that extension, Pauline. We don't need to redecorate that room. I want you to do this. Father God, help us as we lay our lives afresh before you to listen to that still small voice and be obedient to lay down those things that maybe you're not asking us to build. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I just have to say, before I wheel back to my seat, that sometimes it's harder to give up the things that you're building that God doesn't want you to build than sometimes to take on board what God does want you to build. So just bear that in mind this week, that there may be things that God, if you really listen, God's saying, actually, I don't want you to be building that. I want you to use your energy to build that. Amen.
Thank you, Pauline.
Right.
If Mark and the team want to get ready for the last song, and then children will come back in.
I didn't do it. I'm coming into land.
That's all right. So they're doing a fly around.
Because it was obvious I was coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry. Don't worry. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Amen. Amen. For the benefit of those on Zoom, what Heather was just saying is that it's documented in a book that this church started by people coming. Well, Sunday school, I think you said, Doug. Was it? Anyway, people used to walk every week from Biggleswade, 6 miles to come here. This is where God planted his church. And that's what we want to do. And I just wanted just to add on to what Pauline said about the church building, the spires. I think I'm right in saying that they used to build them so high because they felt they were getting closer to God. There we go. Yeah, thank you, guys.
To trust your divine plan and to stand secure against the storms of this life, knowing that our life are built on you and you cannot be shaken.
Mm.
Amen. Let's Amen. Stand and sing Cornerstone.
Nothing less than
Foundation upon which I build my life. You are my source of protection and strength. You fight for us, you protect us, and you lead us through hard times with you. Mm. We are never alone or abandoned. Thank you for being our source of our strength and salvation. Thank you for crushing the devil's scheme and guiding us closer to you. Mm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We'll just wait for the children to come in. This is where you have to think of something to speak about. And I just struck when Pauline was speaking, just to share a bit of a testimony. Pauline was talking about testimonies. My mum didn't have a faith. She knew something was out there, but she didn't have a faith. Can you put that first star slide up, please, Steve? She knew something was there, but she couldn't understand how we had a faith. And when Steve manages to put that for us, she would like things like that. And if you look at it, it just looks like random, doesn't it? And as Pauline said, it's changing all the time. But my mum went into teaching late in life, and her specialist subject was maths, which I hate. I think I was probably a bit of a disappointment to her, but there we go. But she then started looking at things. And she realised that when you look at things in nature, like a spiral of a snail's shell, you can mathematically prove that shape. I read something the other day, I think it's true, so apologies if it's not, whereby the seeds in a sunflower head sometimes have a spiral in them. So that's not random, is it? That's not... It's got to be planned. So God is at work then and now. And Cornerstone, brilliant. We are all parts of the brickwork of that church, and we all come in different sizes. And as the children come in, there are little bricks that will grow into big bricks, which maybe sometime in the future will be the cornerstone of new churches elsewhere. We've seen churches planted out of this church before, and let's pray and hope there'll be more to come. Do you want to just see how Helen's doing, please, sweetie? Well, here comes cool Kerry.
If I could remember it, I would sing the Mission Impossible film. Okay, here come the cool dudes. Oh, yes.
Right. I'm not going to speak because it's the agent's job.
We have been learning about spreading the gospel as agents and telling people about Jesus. And yeah.
We've been doing today. Talking about everything, it's everything about us. And we've been doing everything. And we believe in God and we've been good listening. Blood of Lord Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be good and listening and good. Amen.
And we had some really good worship, didn't we? And Gertrude, most importantly, what did we have to eat?
Chocolate.
Okay, one more thing before we go and sit down. Be careful, Gertrude, stand on that step, please. Stand on that step, special agent. If you are in education, please can you stand up, because I felt I should read something out this morning. You got something else to say?
Yeah, because we've been good listening. Drive into a church and listening to the agents in the TV. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. And we did say at the end, I said to them, what happens when all the people in church here are not here anymore? Because we will all go to be with God at some point, won't we? And whose job is it then to tell everybody about Jesus?
God's listening, and he helps us to stay listening and watching us, the blood of Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit looks at you and be kind to you. And everyone, you have to be kind, and some students punch, kick, and pinch. And you have to be good. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Right. If you're in education, stand up. If you are learning, Noah and Nathan, you can stand up too. And if you are teaching, Catherine, you can stand up too. Yeah, and Amy, and Charlotte, and Alex are half standing up. So, I might get emotional. Loving Father, thank you for all who are part of our school community. Please grant them your encouragement, wisdom, and peace. Strengthen teachers who have heavy workloads. Mark. Tracy. May they be firm, yet patient, expecting excellence but forgiving mistakes. May they support their students, playing to strengths, helping with struggles and motivating them to do their best. Comfort and restore those living under shadows of unhappiness, abuse, pain or fear. May many find faith, discovering their identity in you and knowing your amazing grace in their lives. please pour out your blessings upon our whole school community here in Stockfold and across this land. In Jesus' name, amen. And, sorry, lastly, Mrs. B is back. Can I say thank you to the trustees who worked extremely hard yesterday? You may notice that the carpets smell beautiful, the cupboards look amazing, and they spent many, many hours sorting things out and making the church beautiful.
Thank you. And their spouses, I have to say. So it was a big team effort, so thank you to Helen and Vicky and Lorna as well. Right, let's pray. Let's close, and as we say, thank you to God for everything that he's done for us this morning. Father God, we thank you that we are the building blocks of your church. Father, as we go out from this place today, help us to plant more seeds, build more bricks, build more walls, to be witness to you in the place that we go. Lord, thank you for the encouragement and example we've seen from the youngsters this morning as they've come back into the service. Bless us, I pray, as we go forward. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Teas, coffees, biscuits are served out the back. Please stay and spend time in fellowship, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
I was blind, now I'm seeing in color.